Lord be with you. Welcome to worship this morning. It's good to see you here on this second Sunday of Advent. My name is Steve Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity and delighted to welcome you. If it's your first time with us, we're especially glad to have you as our guest this morning. It's a crisp morning outside, but a great place for warm hearts together in here. We hope that you'll let us know that you've been here, and you can do that by filling out the connection card that's in your bulletin this morning, and those can just be placed in the offering plate a little bit later in the service. A couple of things to share with you today that we don't want you to miss out on. One is that this Wednesday is the annual dinner and Christmas cantata. The choirs will be sharing some excerpts from that at the 11 o'clock service this morning, and then presenting the full cantata on Wednesday evening, following a dinner, and there's information in your bulletins about how to make reservations for that. And then also each week here at Trinity, there's an opportunity for us to be generous with people in our community who are in need and with various organizations. Today our mission box goes to support House of Hope, which cares for men and women in very special ways, and you can see more information about that in your bulletin as well. And as you leave today, if you'd like to make a contribution to support that ministry, their boxes that you put the extra doors to. Well, again, welcome, and let me say to you this morning as we gather in this place where God welcomes us all, welcome home, and would you stand and greet one another?
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in singing our opening hymn, O Come, All You Faithful. As we light the candle of joy this morning, we give thanks for Mary's willing response to God's call. With joy, she sang out, "My
soul magnifies the Lord. What God has done for me will never be forgotten.
Likewise, God calls each of us to orient our lives around the hope of Christ and to participate in the work of lifting up the lowly and seeking the lost.
We give you thanks for the faithfulness of Mary. May you work within us this Advent to ignite a passion for your kingdom, so that we too might joyfully respond to your call to be agents of change. Amen.
Whenever we gather, we come and we have the opportunity to bring our hearts together in prayer. This morning, a couple of things that I would lift up for you and encourage you to be remembering. One, to give thanks for our team that we prayed for last week that was traveling to Puerto Rico. They have returned safely with many stories to share and memories in their hearts and minds. And then we also want to invite you to include in your prayers those persons in our community who are receiving special attention in various ways right now. You see some names on your screen. And then also just yesterday, a memorial service was held in the chapel for Edith Halsey. And so I invite you to remember Edith's family in your prayers as well. Let us pray together. God, in the season of Advent, we wait. We wait for a little hope. We wait for more joy. We wait to hear the good news of your love come down at Christmas. We wait for peace on earth. Goodwill among all. Oh God, this year in this season, we pray that you would raise our expectations, deepen our longings and our commitment to being a part of bringing those things that we desire into your world. For you do not leave us empty-handed in this world, but you invite us to be participants in what you want to do. So may our worship be time that shapes us for being your faithful disciples, for living and loving, for growing, and for being a part of the transformation you desire for your world. God, we know that it begins through our commitment to being followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we join our voices to pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Remember at this time of year how the wise men took gifts to that baby that was celebrated in the manger. And each week as a part of our worship, we bring gifts of our own that can be a part of what God wants to do through the church. And this morning, let me invite you to join me in a prayer offering a blessing over the gifts that we have. Oh God, for all that you have given us, especially through your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. We thank you life abundant, and we pray that you would use that which we return to you today in ways that bring healing and hope in the lives of others. Christ, thank you. My soul has passed before the Lord.
Christmas carols flood our shopping malls and grocery stores and hopefully our homes as well. We at Trinity are singing our way to the manger as we look at some of the earliest songs, the earliest carols in Scripture. Last week, Steve looked at the words of Isaiah. Now, not a song, granted, on his lips when he first said them. Definitely a song that is much loved to us as we think about prepare you the way of the Lord, and particularly the Godspell version of that. This week, I'll be looking at the song that was in Mary's heart as God came to her and she was overcome with joy. Next week, Steve will look at the song of Zechariah, and then on Christmas Eve morning, we'll celebrate the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we'll have the opportunity to sing many of our much-loved carols in our one service on Christmas Eve morning. At what time? 10 o'clock on Christmas Eve morning, one service. And then on Christmas Eve, that evening, we will look at the song of the angels, Glory to God in the Highest. Now, as we think about Mary's song this morning, we remember that it is called the Magnificat because of the 4th century Latin translation of Scripture, and Magnificat is the first word in Mary's song. And that's the song that Mary burst into when she was greeting her cousin Elizabeth. Remember, the angel came to Mary and told her that she was going to give birth to a son, and that her cousin Elizabeth, even in her old age, was also pregnant and going to give birth. And so as soon as Mary received that word, she made a beeline to Elizabeth's house. And it was a day's journey, but when she got there, she was so excited. And then when she arrived, Elizabeth greeted Mary, and Elizabeth said that the child that was in her womb did a somersault with joy after hearing the news and seeing Mary for the first time. And so then Mary bursts into song, and she rejoices. And this is the song that Mary says. We find it in Luke chapter 1. Let me invite you to read along with me. Follow along with me as I read. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." It's the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray for me this morning. I'm sharing this message with you as I pray for you. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, everybody becomes a kid again at Christmas time. There's just something about Christmas that brings out the child in each one of us. All of us get excited to go and see the Christmas lights or come and see the live nativity. All of us get excited to put out cookies for Santa and carrots for the reindeer, whether it's with our children or with our grandchildren or great-grandchildren, all of us tend to look at the world again through five-year-old eyes. Christmas just brings out the kid in all of us. Steve's mom tells a story about something that happened when he was just a kid. It was Christmas morning, and he was so excited. He had gotten the newest, latest, greatest thing. It was a handheld football game. Handheld football game when he was a boy. So it was a big thing, and he loved it, and he played it and played it and played it. And then they had Christmas dinner. And then after dinner, his mom noticed that he was sitting on the couch, and he was looking kind of dejected. And then his mom noticed that his father and his uncle had his handheld football game and were playing it and totally engrossed in it. And she said to Stephen, "What's wrong?" And he said, "When do I get to play my game again?" You know, everybody becomes a kid again at Christmas time. And it's because of a child that we're also here today. We are focused on this child, this small, baby named Jesus. The baby whose birth was announced by the angel Gabriel. The baby whose name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We are all up early and out on this very chilly morning because of a child. Nothing more than a child. And when that baby grew up, he told his would-be followers and disciples, "You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you become like a child. You must be like the littlest ones to be able to come to me." You know, as Mary sings her song, her amazement at what God has done is almost childish in the best sense of the word. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Well, God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. God has looked with favor on this young teenage girl from the backwater town of Nazareth. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. You know, in all of her innocence, she is filled with wonder and childlike joy at what God has done. She gets that God has done great things for her. She gets that God's goodness is given even to those who are less than remarkable. She gets that in light of God's goodness, all individual merit and all individual failure pale in comparison. That's what's so magnificent. God's goodness is not given to us because of anything wise or wonderful or mature or grown up that we have done. And God's goodness is given to us in spite of all of our deepest faults and failures. God's grace is a gift given to all to receive with childlike joy. God's goodness is to be welcomed with wide-eyed wonder. You know, right about the time I turned 40, I began to notice that I couldn't see things quite so clearly anymore. And I went to the doctor, and I was very concerned. And she said, "Well, aren't you about 40? And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, it's about the right time for your eyes to start becoming dimmer. You are not going to be able to see as clearly because when you get older, your eyes get weaker and less flexible. You are less able to focus and to see things clearly, especially up close." the less able we are to focus clearly, the more grown up we are, the dimmer we are, the less able we are to see clearly, especially things that are small and delicate and precious. Our world, our society, our culture tells us that the only way to get smart and wise is to grow up and to become big and self-sufficient, to become objective and powerful and adult. But Jesus says, you can only enter the kingdom of God if you become like a child. Jesus tells us that the only way to become mature in our faith is to become naive and totally dependent. The only way to become wise is to become vulnerable and weak. Isn't that amazing? Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Gets that. When she sings, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. You know, probably my favorite part of worship each week is Holy Communion. Because it's a time when we all come with our hands outstretched as beggars in need of God's grace. The posture that we take when we come forward for communion is that we cup our hands like a small child, waiting to be fed, waiting to receive the gift of God's amazing grace for us. We come, dependent and vulnerable, anxious to receive that gift of forgiveness and grace. That is the very heart of worship, the very heart of our Christian faith. And the best part of all for me is when the children come. When I have the privilege of bending down to give them communion, in all their innocence and naivete, they come with their wiggly little bodies and wonder in their eyes. They come and I say, this is Jesus' special gift for you. Now, over the years, people have asked me about children coming for communion. They have said, you know, is it appropriate for children to come? Do you think that they should wait until they are older, until they really understand what it means? And my response is, you can never be too little to understand what it means. Years ago, a mother in a congregation that I was serving told me what happened with her 3-year-old son, Jacob. They had stopped on the way home from church to get Subway with their 3 small children and were at home getting it all out. Now, Subway at least used to serve children's sandwiches with a little round loaf, you know, much smaller, but a little round loaf. Jacob was getting ready to eat his sandwich. He stopped first, and he took a small piece, and he broke it off, and he took it over to his mother, and he said, Mommy, this is Jesus' special gift for you. I think they knew we do. The kingdom of God is for the littlest and the lowliest. And somehow we too must become like a child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. We can't do anything to earn that. It is a gift that we are given. And we can't do anything that would hinder God from welcoming us, because God's forgiveness, too, is a gift. Pure gift. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Surely from now on all generations will call us blessed. Because through Mary's son, we have been given that gift of grace and forgiveness." So this morning, may we worship with the childlike wonder of Mary as we worship the babe born in Bethlehem, as we worship the little Lord Jesus. May we all become like a child again. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs.
Indeed, God has done great things for us. Once we were not a people, but the Savior of the world, the Christ child who first came to us on that holy night in the Bethlehem manger, has chosen us to be God's people. And Jesus the Christ calls us to come with childlike faith to this table, where the differences that we see are dissolved. At this table, all are equal, all are precious in the sight of God. So we come. We come humbly with open hands and open hearts to receive the gift of God's grace. And we remember the night when Jesus sat at the table with his disciples, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to his Father in heaven, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. Gave thanks to his Father in heaven and offered it to his friends, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this, so we pray, Almighty God, that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet. Through Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Church, we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping us to serve communion to please make your way forward. As they come, let me just share with you that in the United Methodist Church, the communion table is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or any church for that matter. All are welcome to receive this gift of grace. You simply come with the invitation of God's Spirit. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means that we will tear off a piece of bread and place it into your open hand, and then you're invited to dip it into the cup to receive both elements together. The prayer rails are open. That was like to come and kneel in prayer. You can return to your seats and sing. We ask that you come exiting the row to the left and returning to the right, beginning with the front rows and working our way back, coming to the station closest to your section. And we have gluten-free, if that is the need that you have on either side. Just let us know when you come forward. But all is ready, all prompt.
God, we give you thanks for this grace with which you have nourished us at your table. And we pray, O God, that as we